I think back on the days, amen, when going into church was not on my agenda.
Don't worry.
It was not on my radar. Amen. And I used to make fun of people who went to church.
All right, now.
Amen. Praise God for his mercy, his grace, his patience. You know, it's one of the things I've come to really appreciate about God in recent times. His patience.
That's right. Yeah, Lord.
Because I believe he's so patient with me.
Yes.
You know. You feel that way?
Yes.
Patient with you?
Yeah.
You know, patient with you, not quite doing what you know you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it.
That's right. Amen.
I love obedient people.
Yeah.
Because most of us struggle with obedience. Okay. I mean, we get better at it by the grace of God.
Yeah.
But we have obedience issues.
Yes,
And I just thank God that he's patient. With us as we continue to grow and get better. Because I would have given up on me a while ago. Amen. Amen. But I praise God that he hasn't. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we praise God. Amen. Happy Father's Day again. Amen. So we have to have a message today for fathers.
All right.
Amen. I just think, you know, just encouragement for fathers. Amen. And really, you know, just want to offer, you know, not so much in the way of preaching or anything like that, but really just some encouragement for fathers. And I think here's the thing. I believe if you're going to be a good father, it has to be purposeful. You have to purpose to be a good father. It's not just going to happen.
Right.
And just because you have a child or you have children doesn't mean you're going to be a good father.
That's right.
It takes thought. You really have to have some things in your mind and in your heart about how you're going to be with your children. If you don't, then you're simply going to do some things that could be a product of your past, the way your dad dealt with you, the way his dad dealt with him, the way fathers in the community dealt with their kids. And some of that stuff might not be good, but you may repeat it because that's what you know. Until you make a conscious decision of what's good, what's not good, what's right. And how many of you know that the standard of that is God?
Yes.
Amen. The standard of that is God. So we want to offer some encouragement to fathers.
Yes.
And here's the thing. Not only fathers who are fathers now, but even fathers to be.
That's right.
And I don't even mean that your wife is expecting. I mean, you could even be someone who's 15, 16, but at some point, you may be a father.
Maybe, that's right.
And it's never too early to start thinking about certain things you're going to do as an adult. Let me tell you something, Mr. Tim. I know how to cook. And it's because of something that happened in my childhood when I was 8 or 9 years old. I was playing in, we had an alleyway behind our house. We had all these row houses connected, and there was an alleyway behind.
Right.
And so that's where we played.
Mm-hmm.
And the kitchen of each house faced the back. And there was a little patio. Everybody had it. Everybody's house was the same.
Right.
There was a kitchen, and then there was a patio that faced the alley. And I was a kid, and we were playing in the alley. And then one day, one of the neighbors, the couple, they were arguing. And they just kept going back and forth, arguing. And finally, the wife said, "Well, I'm not cooking tonight." And the husband said, "What do you mean you're not cooking tonight?" And I was like 8 or 9 years old, but I heard the concern in his voice. It's like, if she don't cook, I'm not eating. And I said to myself right there, I'm telling you, I said to myself right there, ain't no woman gonna tell me that. If you ain't cooking tonight, that doesn't mean you ain't eating.
Yes.
I'm gonna eat.
No, you're right.
I'm telling you, I was 8 or 9 years old. I will never forget that.
Wow.
And so, why does it? Because there are things that happen to you when you're young that could have lasting impressions on you.
Right.
And so, you know, when it comes to being a dad, there's some things that could be some things in your past that might not necessarily be good things that you may be inclined to incorporate, and it's not good for you to do that for your children. And so we want to get off of some Father's Day encouragement today. Amen?
Yeah.
And we're going to use scripture text, 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm going to ask you to turn there with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we're going to read from verse 55 down to verse 58. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we're going to look at verses 55 through 58. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Amen.
Amen. And the word of God reads, and I'm reading from the King James Version. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou whose son this stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant, Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we bless your name today one more time. Glory to God. There is none like you, Lord. And Father, we're so grateful to be right here, right now, under your watchful presence. And Father God, we're even more thankful, God, that you're about to speak to us. So, Father God, just speak now from heaven. Bless us with a listening ear and a receptive heart. Father, let us receive everything that you have for us today. And most of all, God, may we be transformed as our minds are renewed by the word of God. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. And we thank you, God, that the truth makes us free.
Yes.
Father God, I just ask you now, oh God, to bless everyone to just receive what you have for them, oh God. And Father, bless me, oh God, to be used of you, to share your heart with your people. And Father, may you be glorified through it all. Father, we love you, we praise you, we honor you, we cherish you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we just want to offer some Father's Day encouragement.
Yes.
Amen. Father's Day encouragement, and actually, you know, offer some meditations. I think there are some things I believe that we should, as fathers, think about. No matter how old you are or how experienced you are as a father, I think there are some things that God wants to share with us today that will help guide us. And we see here in the scripture text, first of all, if we can pick up here, that David had done some great exploits, right? He had come, this little teenage boy, had come to the battle between the people of God and the Philistines. And everyone was afraid of the champion, Goliath.
Yes. Right.
And Goliath was just selling wolf tickets like nobody's business.
Yes, he was.
He was saying, if you come out here, I'm going to do this to you, I'm going to do that to you. And even though the battle was in array, no one was moving forward because they were afraid.
That's right.
And when David came upon the scene, he heard what was going on. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who's talking to the people of God like that? And, you know, we know the story. His brother, his older brother got upset. We know why you up here. We know the naughtiness of your heart. What'd you do with those little sheep, those few sheep you have?
Yeah.
You know, his brother put them down, and David turned to him and said, what have I done now?
Right, yeah.
Which gives you the sense that his brother got on him often.
Yeah.
Amen. What have I done now?
Yeah.
Is there not a cause?
Yeah.
And then he kind of turned his hand to him and said, what's going to happen to the man who kills this Philistine?
Yeah,
and they told him, you know, hey, you know, you can marry the king's daughter, you're going to be free from taxes and all the rest of that. But I don't believe that's what motivated David. I believe that David just had a heart such for God
that
he couldn't he just couldn't stand the idea of having someone who was not a covenant person speaking stuff over the lives of covenant people.
That's right.
Do you know if you're a covenant person, you shouldn't allow or stand for someone who doesn't have a covenant speaking over your life? That doesn't make any sense. And so he said, no, he said, I got to take this over and circumcise Philistine up.
Right.
And we know Saul tried to give him his armor, and David tried it on and said, I can't operate in this.
That's right.
This is not for me. And so he took his little, what he had, little slingshot, got five smooth stones, and we know the story, right? This Philistine said to him, you know, all upset, who's this coming out after me, this little punk?
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing. It'll say that in the Bible, but who's this little guy coming out here? Because Goliath was, 9 feet tall and everything else. But David, we know the story. David went running out and
he went in,
sunk that stone right in his forehead, knocked Goliath out, and then went and took Goliath's own sword and cut off Goliath's head. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting too is now all the people of Israel who were cowering in fear, now all of a sudden got courageous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And started chasing the people.
Yeah.
And it is a funny thing that, you know, sometimes it only takes one person.
That's right.
Right? To set the example. That's why one of the things, you know, God calls very few people to be leaders.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people don't have it in them to be a leader. But David, even at this young age, has shown himself to be a leader because he saw something that needed to be addressed. And he was willing to step forward in the power of God to address it. And so he led the people into the battle, whether that was his intention or not. And he had the head of the Philistine.
That's right.
And so Saul saw all of this happen. And he said, and something interesting, right? He says to Abner, the captain of the army, who is that little boy there? Whose son is he? Which is really interesting when you consider that earlier, right, Jesse had allowed David to serve Saul and to play music for him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? In the earlier chapter, right, Jesse had allowed him to go and to play music for Saul. Mm-hmm. And that Saul doesn't know that that's Jesse's boy, I don't know, maybe because he just didn't focus on it much, or maybe this was early signs of Saul losing his mind, because you know Saul got a little touched in the head, right? But whatever it was, he didn't know who this young man was. But he asked, he said, who is that boy's father?
Yes.
Which is an interesting question, because it implies that there's an assumption that Saul was operating under, that this young boy's acts have to be related to his upbringing.
Right.
And in this case, to who his father was. Right? Who is his father? And we need to realize something. Our conduct many times is linked to our family heritage, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there's certain things that people will know. You know, I'm a Johnson. Johnsons don't act like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or I'm a Smith.
Right.
Smiths don't act like that. You know, there's certain things that are in your family, right? That you go, that's not how we do it in this family, right? We are proud of them, man. And our conduct should reflect our family heritage. And so Saul sees the courage of this young man, and the first thing he wants to know is, who's that boy's father? Because I know he didn't get that on his own.
That's right.
You know, sometimes, you know, you hear, I've heard it coming up several times, and I hope it wasn't spoken to me, and I'm hoping my memory is correct and it was spoken about other people, but where I heard things like someone would say, I know your parents taught you better than that. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
A kid acting out and somebody go, I know your parents taught you better than that. They're saying that because they know your parents.
Right.
Yeah. And they know that the way you're acting them is not consistent with the parents they know them to be. I know your parents taught you better than that.
That's right.
I know your mama taught you some manners.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
You know, you just grabbing stuff, don't say thank you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Boy, didn't your parents teach you some manners?
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Why? Because the expectation is that as you conduct yourself, that it's going to be a reflection of your parents.
Yeah.
And so hovering over every child is this sort of the legacy of their parents. And because it's Father's Day today, we're going to focus on fathers, but certainly mothers are included in this as well, of course, right? But being a father is really serious business, right? And so there's some encouragement, maybe some meditations and some things to think about. God has placed on my heart four questions that fathers should keep in mind. Amen. As they live their lives, as they raise their children, as they're members of the community. And here's the thing, you know, there's so many studies out there because for a long time it's all been about moms. And we know moms are vital, amen. I always love my mama too. She's my favorite girl.
I know.
Amen. I know. Amen. Amen. But you know, over recent years, there have been more and more studies that talk about the influence that dads have.
Yeah.
And I believe that as more of these studies have come out and talk about how dads have a significant impact on their children, how if the dad is around and supportive and loving, that those children tend to be more emotionally secure, more confident, they have more academic success, they have more social success, they have fewer behavioral problems. I mean, these are things that are, you know, more and more studies are beginning to show. And as this becomes more widespread, it's almost like dads are starting to feel a little bit better about themselves, that they're not second-class citizens, and they're taking parenting and fatherhood more seriously. I will tell you this, the fathers that I see nowadays differ from the fathers that I saw when I was a kid. Because that was a different time.
Yeah.
That was a rough and tumble, you know, the father was just, they were the provider, they were the disciplinarian, and pretty much that was it.
That's right.
I'll feed you and I'll beat you.
That's right.
Now you see fathers more doting and right? They're in their child's life. They do more chores around the house.
That's true.
It is different. And I think part of that is because there's become a growing awareness that fathers have this tremendous importance. And you're not just the provider. You're not just going out there and you know, doing the hunting and bringing back the meat. You know what I mean? No, you have to do more things.
I do.
So anyway, there's some things that God has just placed on my heart that I think would be helpful for every man who wants to be a good father to purposely and purposefully think about. Amen.
Yeah.
And here's the first question. Amen. Is this: how will others respond when they learn I'm my child's father? How will others respond when they learn that I'm my child's father? What do I mean by that? There's going to be three words that are going to be uttered when they find out that, you know, if someone's dealing with your child and they find out that you're that child's father, it's going to be three words they're going to utter. And the inflection makes all the difference. Because the three words are, that's your dad. But it's the inflection. See, they can go, that's your dad?
Yeah.
They're impressed. They can go, that's your dad? They're concerned. And then, that's your dad.
Oh.
Amen. Yeah, exactly. That explains it as right. Amen.
Oh, bless his name.
But here's the thing, because see, we as parents, we know that when our kids go out the house, we want them to act a certain way.
Right.
Because we understand that the way they conduct themselves is a reflection on us as parents and as we raise them.
That's right.
But parents need to understand it goes the other way too. That the way you, Dad, conduct yourself outside of the house, the way you conduct yourself in the community, the way you conduct yourself on the job, reflects on your children too.
Yes,
it does.
Amen? And it can be good or bad.
Yeah.
Look, I love my dad, and anybody who knows my father, you know, and nobody here does, amen, it's just for them. But my father struggled with alcoholism. Mm-hmm. Worked every day.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he got a plaque at the end of his career where he didn't miss a day of work for like 32 years in a row.
That's his name,
didn't miss a day.
Jesus.
I don't know how he did it, because there were some nights he came home and he was plastered.
Right. Wow.
But he got up the next day and went to work.
Yeah.
I don't know how he did it. But my dad, you know, he hung out on the corner.
Right.
He was in the number hole.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the bar.
Right.
He took care of us, amen. Everything was taken care of at home. But he was out there hanging out doing his stuff.
Right.
And then sometimes he'd be coming home stumbling.
Right.
Now, as a kid, you don't think I heard that?
Right.
That's your dad? You know what I mean? Sometimes he'd be on the corner yelling, screaming, fighting, cursing.
Right.
That's your dad?
Yes.
Amen. And people thought certain things of me.
Right.
But also, too, as a child, it kind of made me feel a little lower.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It made me feel a little embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think as a parent and as a father, you always want the best for your children.
That's right.
You always want the best for your children, but in order for you to give your children the best, you can give them the best house, you can give them the best car, you can give them the best food, you can give them the best of material things, but give them the best you.
That's right.
Yes, amen.
Right? Give them the best you, and not only at home, but when you go out there. If you're a businessman, don't get a reputation in the community of somebody who cheats his clients or his customers.
Right.
Right.
That's it.
Right? You gotta go, oh, that's your dad?
Uh-huh. Right.
Right? You're a contractor and you always start the work but you never finish. All over the neighborhood there's a bunch of unfinished kitchens with your name on it. Oh, that's your dad?
Right.
Right.
Terrible.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying, Brother Les? Right? You're in business. You don't want people to get, Talbot. You know Les Talbot? Oh, yeah, that's my dad. Oh, that's your dad?
Wow.
We want the best, and we want to be able to give to our children the opportunity to help them feel good.
Yes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That when they're in social circles or they're somewhere, you know, they don't have to cower behind their name.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Or for some explanation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know that there have been times when Jasmine has called me and she'll tell me, because Jasmine's a lawyer, I'm a lawyer, so sometimes our circles cross.
Right.
And she'll tell me, oh yeah, so one of the partners came into my office today and they said, that's your dad? See, that makes me feel good.
Really.
Not that I did it for them,
right, yeah.
But if you live a certain way and you do certain things,
right.
If someone's gonna come back to one of your children and wanna know if you belong to them,
yeah.
Let it be for a good reason.
That's right.
Right, conduct yourself in such a way that you are not, because see, parents and dads know, you better not go out there and mess up the family name.
That's right.
That's what you say to kids. But here's the thing, but don't you now go out there and mess up the family name either. Because I'm carrying it as your child.
That's right.
And you don't know how many things, I mean, if you live uprightly and if you conduct yourself a certain way, that could open doors for your children.
Yes, right.
Simply because of the way you lived your life.
That's true.
So one of the things, amen, is, you know, think about as a parent, as a father, how will other people respond when they learn I'm my child's father? I want that response to be favorable.
Yeah.
Amen. It has nothing to do with me.
Right.
It's not about me, because what are they going to do for me? Amen.
Yeah.
It's not about that, but it's about I want the best for my kids. So I don't want them to be in a bad situation. I don't care what it is. I never want my children to be in a bad situation.
Amen.
Right? And so I don't want nobody talking about them and making them feel bad, you know. That's the thing that got us in fights on the schoolyard. Not about talking about dad, but you talk about mom.
Yes.
Somebody put your parent down. You knew that was a put down on you too.
That's right.
And so, as fathers, amen, we have to be mindful of that.
Yes.
Another question that I think all fathers should purpose to ask themselves is this: what if my children take after me?
Mm-hmm.
What if my children take after me? And we have to understand that children mimic what they see in the house. They mimic what they see from their parents and from their father. And I think we have to be, as fathers, purposeful in how we would feel if our children took after us.
Wow.
Right? Would, if your child did the same things you did the way you do them, would it put him on the pathway to success? If your child did the same thing that you do, exactly the way you do it, would it keep them safe?
Yeah.
If your child, dad, did the same things that you do, exactly the way you do them, would it lead to strong and lasting relationships? Would it help them to become well-adjusted adults? Right? And we can think about it in areas of honesty, loyalty, yeah, temperament, work ethic. If your child had the same work ethic as you did, would that lead them to success, Dad?
Right.
What about temperament? If they lost their temper as fast as you did, would that be a good or bad thing for them?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. How about, you know, things like honesty and integrity and trustworthiness and loyalty? But we can even go to more everyday things. What if they drove their car exactly the way you drive your car?
Yeah.
Would that be a good thing for them? Would they be safe? Because, you know, you drive 80 in a 55. You act like stop signs are suggestions.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. See it.
Red lights, too. You're absolutely right. I saw another car the other day come from behind me, change lane, and went through the red light.
Jesus.
Right?
Yeah.
What if they consumed alcohol like you do?
Mm.
Maybe you drink responsibly and only at home. Maybe you get sloppy drunk. Right? I think every dad needs to ask, you need to understand something. They are watching you.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us that we should, as fathers, that we should nurture our children, right? And raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But how many of you know, it's about the example that you're setting before them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What if their level of integrity and honesty exactly matched yours? Right? Because sometimes, you know, you tell them those lies, you know, they're little and they're white. Not your children, the lies.
Yes.
It could be both.
Yeah. I'm just, right? But what if... Right. If they acted exactly the way you did, what if my children would take after me? And I believe that as a father, you should be totally at peace with, I'll be okay with that. Why? Because you know, I'm living in a way that's trustworthy and honest, and I have a true work ethic, and I'm respectful of my wife and the people around me, and I put in a good day's work, and all these things, but I have these positive attributes that if my child would take after me, I obey the rules of the road. I don't try to cut corners.
Mm-hmm.
I don't gossip behind people's backs.
Yeah,
come on, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because your children are watching you.
Yes, they are.
Yes.
And the proof of it is, we see it and we think it's so cute when the little kid, maybe he's like 3 years old, 4 years old, right? What are the things the son does, and even daughters do it sometimes too. They love trying to get into daddy's shoes and walking.
Yeah.
Right? They just walk around the house with their shoes on. That's telling you something. Yes. That they want to walk the way you walk.
Yes.
And we understand the word walk in the Bible is synonymous with live, right? Mm-hmm. They want to live the way you live. And so if you're a father, one of the things that is so important is that you want to be comfortable with, if my children were to take after me in areas of honesty, integrity, and all these things that we're talking about, you'd be good with it. Mm-hmm. And if not, then make some changes.
Amen.
Amen. Make some changes.
Right.
Amen. So how would others respond if they learned that I'm my child's father? And what if my children took after me? Amen. It's so important, I think, for us as fathers to realize that we're living and we're doing things for something that's bigger than ourselves. Mm-hmm. And once we realize that, we will adjust our conduct, right? Because it's not just about me. It's not just about what I want, how I want it, or anything else. It's also, what am I teaching my children, right? Am I too big to apologize? Mm-hmm. What do you think you're teaching your child? I was watching, you know, one of the judge shows the other day, because, you know, my wife loves the judge shows, right? And there was this guy on there who sold the car to somebody else, and he didn't have proper title. And the guy waited months, towed the car to a dealership, because the guy said, okay, we just need to get it inspected. The guy didn't want to put the car in the street, towed the car to the dealership, mm-hmm. or wherever, to the garage, got an emission sticker. The guy still didn't give him proper title, making all kinds of excuses before the judge. The judge was like, you know, after she heard it, she's like, look, get out of my courtroom, boom, reverted for the plaintiff.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so he comes out and the guy asks him, do you feel bad? He goes, no. He said, do you feel bad for all the stuff you put into it? No.
Right.
I mean, and the way he said it was like, what kind of question is that? It was unbelievable. And I'm watching this and I said, where did he get that from?
Right.
How does he not know that that was wrong every day, twice on Sunday? That thing, I mean, what he did was wrong.
Right.
He had no sense of remorse.
Lord.
And when the guy asked him, don't you feel bad? He was like, feel bad for what?
Right.
But where does he get that from?
Right.
Wow.
Well, somewhere along the line, he saw somebody doing bad things to people, right. and just shrugging their shoulders at it.
Yeah.
And now here he is, a grown man, doing the same thing. What if my children take after me?
My Lord.
The third question, amen, is this. If I did this, and you can fill in the this with whatever you want. If I did this, would my children respect me? I believe dads need to ask themselves that question. If I did this, would my children respect me? I will say this, a good dad is a good teacher.
Yeah.
A good dad is a good teacher. But a better dad is a good example.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? And fathers should strive to be examples for their children and not just teachers.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because see, dads are often viewed as the ones who teach their kids about things that moms don't really focus on too much. Mm-hmm. You know, moms, I read somewhere, Brother Les, where it said that dads view their kids in relation to the rest of the world, and like how they gonna fit in and how they gonna make it. Dads view their kids in relation to the rest of the world, and it said moms view the rest of the world in relation to their kids.
That's true.
It's like, oh, that's my kid. You don't. Mom will tell the world off.
That's
But the world gotta stop and recognize that my kids.
Yep.
When dads go, there's a big world out there, son.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. And he look at his kid in relation to the world, but nah, mom look at the world in relation to that son.
That's my kid.
And so because of that, dads are more, they teach different things. Dads teach things about competition. Right? We tell you gotta compete. We let our kids know they need to be independent. I mean, not that moms don't do this, but dads are more inclined to, right? We teach about fairness and respect and honesty and working hard. Like we do all these things. We lay down these type of things, right? But here's the thing, that's all great, that's all good. But what good is that if, for example, you teach about fairness and about you gotta treat people fair, but your kid sees you or experiences you being unfair?
Yeah.
Right.
What good is it if you're telling them about how they need to work hard, but you done got laid off from your third job in 6 months because of tardiness or absenteeism?
Right.
What good is it you teaching them about being trustworthy? You punish them because they told you they were studying at their friend's house. You found out later they were partying at somebody else's house. And you put them on punishment. If I can't trust you, you can't go out the house. Yeah, you teach them about trustworthiness, but then they find out you cheating on their mom.
Oh, wow.
You understand? See, would they respect you? Because I'm telling you this, kids and young people, they are quick to call you a phony.
Yes,
they are quick to latch on to you being hypocritical.
Yes, they are.
Right? And so if you want to tell them that they need to do certain things,
right,
but yet you yourself don't do it because you're more than a teacher, but you're not a good example.
That's right.
Now I'm telling you now, they're going to lose respect for you.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
So before you start doing the things that you're doing, before you really get up to the clerk at the DMV who's going too slow and give him a piece of your mind and all kinds of blue language.
Blue language.
Do you really want to do that? Because you're home telling your kids they better not talk that way. They better not act that way out in public. Do you really want to be doing some of the things that you may be thinking about doing? Ask yourself a question. If I did this and it got back to my kid, would they respect
me? Wow.
I will tell you, when I was a teenager, or preteen, teenage year, you know, that same kind of thing, 11, 12, 13, I did what most kids did, but y'all didn't do it, but I did it. When I got away from my block and I got away from my mom's house, and I knew they weren't around, I was a couple blocks away. Oh yeah, I joined in everybody when they were cursing. Oh yeah. Because you felt like you were grown up then.
Yeah.
It's funny how, why does that feel like you're grown up? That just shows you wrong examples, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that was the example I had, right? I'm cursing like everybody else. But I wouldn't curse on my block because why? Somebody, my mom might be coming by, or a neighbor could come by. And back then, neighbor would tell you, I'll tell your dad. They saw you acting up, they told. I can't tell you how many punishments I got on because Mr. Bell dropped down on me. Mr. Bell dropped down on me so much one day he was walking his dog and I had a BB gun. I was so tired of Mr. Bell that I looked out my window, I just shot at his dog. And somehow Mr. Bell found out I did that. I told him that. I got a joke for that too. I'll never forget that. His dog name was Drum. The beautiful German Shepherd. You remember Drum? Frida's dog, Mr. Bell, a big old German Shepherd. Dog chased me in the alley one time. I didn't like Drum. So I didn't like Mr. Bell too much. But that's how it was back then.
Right.
So I waited till I got off the block.
Yes. Right.
Because I couldn't risk right. a neighbor. So I used to do that. And then here's the thing, and I love this about it, and I look back on it now. I didn't know God at that time in my life. But I can look back now and I know God spoke to me. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, well, God didn't know you. Well, God didn't know Samuel either. Okay. Samuel didn't know God when he first called him and said, Samuel, Samuel. And he got up and went to Eli and said, you called me. The scripture said because Samuel did not yet know God. But God was still talking to him. All of us, please understand, God talked to you before you knew him. Amen. God would talk to you before you got here.
Right.
And if he didn't talk to you, then he could have never called you to the wells of salvation.
Right.
That's right.
So don't act like you always been tight with God. So I know God.
Right.
But I can look back and say he told me something. And know what he said to me, act like your mother can see you. He knew how much I love my mom.
Right, right.
And the minute he said that changed my life.
Right.
Because now I just walked around as if my mom could see me.
Right.
And now, do you think I was dropping F-bombs all over the neighborhood? No, I wasn't.
Right.
You think I was acting the fool? No, I wasn't.
That's right.
Because in my mind, I just said my mom could see me.
Mm-hmm.
Would be the God if we would really get that in our head, uh-huh. the fact that God can see us. Let's pray for that revelation to finally kick in. Because it would change a lot of the things we do. But as dads, if you would think to yourself that your kid can see you, and if they saw you acting this way and doing this thing, I know you're at work, I know you're on your business trip, I know your kid is away at college or whatever, but if your kid could see you doing what you're doing, would you be comfortable looking them in the eye and explaining yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And if the answer is no, then don't do it.
That's it.
I don't know how many marriages might have been saved, because see, here's the thing, you cheated on your wife, sir, because you were mad at her and you done this and that and this. And maybe it's easy for you to do that, but what about your kids? Did you stop to think about them? Did you stop to think about how you could explain yourself to them? Oh, you could justify yourself to your wife. Well, you've not been treating me right. What are you going to say to your kid?
Yeah.
That's right.
Because they didn't do anything. And would they respect you? And if the answer is no, then don't do it.
That's right.
Amen. Don't do it. Don't just be a teacher. Don't tell them to be honest and then you're less than honest. Don't tell them to work hard, but then you're a slacker. Don't tell them to be fair to people, but then you treat people unfairly.
That's right.
Don't just be a teacher. Be an example. Amen.
Right.
And if you are, your children will respect you because they'll know something. My dad practices what he preaches. Right? He don't just tell us things. He doesn't just do it. He practices. But he doesn't just talk the talk. He walks the walk. And they will respect you.
That's right.
Because of that consistency in your life.
Amen.
So we have three questions. How will others respond when they learn that my child's father? Is that your dad?
Yes.
I want that to be like with them. That's your dad?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
What if my children took after me? I want to be perfectly okay with that.
Yeah.
If they drove their car the way I drove my car, would I be okay? I'd be okay with that. If they dealt with other people the way I deal with other people, that's how every dad should want. I'll be okay with that.
Right.
Because it'll be good for them. Not because they're taking after you.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Because see, you well, look, I don't take stuff from nobody. Yeah, but that's why you're always getting in fights. That's why you got a police record. You want your kid to be like that too?
Right. Yeah.
So it's not just if they take after you. It's if it leads them to the pathway of success. If it will keep them safe, it will put them in good relationships and everything else. If it will make their life better.
That's right.
And then the third one is, if I did this with my children, respect. The last question for Father's Day, amen, that we offer some Father's Day encouragement, some Father's Day meditations. is, will my children proudly acknowledge me as their father? In other words, when all is said and done, this is the litmus test, right? Whatever setting your child finds himself in, when the subject turns to you, Dad, when you walk in the room or someone flashes a photo, are they going to act like they don't know you? Or would they proudly acknowledge and say, that's my dad right there? Mm-hmm. Amen. Will they proudly and freely and gladly acknowledge you as their father? And what I'm saying is, I believe that this is something that dad should purposely think about. Because I think it will guide your conduct, right? Mm-hmm. Right? And not just in the home. And notice, it's not just about in the home. Because see, we can do certain things in the home and say certain things in the home. But how many of you know, it's when you leave your house where your true character comes out. When you leave your house, when you go to work, when you go to school, when you are out there in the community, when you travel near and far, how are you conducting yourself?
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
And will your children proudly acknowledge you as their father? Will they call you a good father? And here's the thing. You notice what I said? Will your children do it?
Yes.
Not your wife.
Right.
Your wife can't really say you're a good father. And I praise God, you know, for our wives who say, oh, you're a good father. But that only goes so far. Your mother can't tell son, oh, my son's a good father. Yeah, thanks, Mom, but
yes.
Your friends can't do it. Know why? Because you're not their father.
Right.
I'm not my wife's father. How she know how good of a father I am?
That's right.
You understand? I heard that a long time ago. I'm a good husband. And somebody said, it's not for you to say. Let me ask your wife.
Right, that's right. That's right.
It's not for you to say. Let me ask your wife.
That's right.
Because you're her husband.
Yes.
You're not your own husband.
That's right.
That's right. So who's the litmus test, Dad, for whether you're a good dad?
Hmm.
It's not so much your wife, your mom, or other people. It's your children.
That's right.
It's your children.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, please understand. I know there's some ungrateful children out there, so don't get me wrong. And that there's some good parents out there whose children don't have nothing good to say about them, don't talk to them. That's ungrateful children. That's another topic.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm not talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just talking about, right, where it's not about being ungrateful. It's about whether or not Dad lived a certain way.
Right.
And you want everything where your children will freely and proudly and gladly acknowledge you.
Mm-hmm.
That's my dad right
here. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
That's my dad. As I said, there were some times, amen, when I grew up, man, there was times I felt kind of bad.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. There was times I felt kind of bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I knew my dad's heart, but you know, when you're a teenager, you're a kid, man, how many of you know, kids can be cruel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you know, all the things you hear and the put downs and the things, you know what I mean? Yeah. So you got to the point where in order to avoid the put down, you wanted to avoid the connection.
Yeah,
exactly. You see what I mean? Nah. You know what I mean? It's like.
Wow.
So I think for Father's Day, man, we have such an opportunity to make lasting deposits in our children's lives.
Yeah.
But we have to be purposeful about it.
Right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And we have to look to God to set the example for us. Right? And God sets the example by being, we talk about all the time, we were talking about today as we were singing, that just being so good.
Yeah.
Right? And He says, and He's our Heavenly Father, and He lets us know about kindness.
Right.
And patience,
yeah.
And strength,
yes.
And wisdom,
right.
Yeah.
And goodness, right? All of these are character attributes of God.
That's right.
And He sets the standard for all fathers, by which all fathers should purpose to live,
yeah.
Right? The Bible tells us that we should be imitators of God as dear children.
Right.
And certainly for fathers, we need to emulate and fashion and model the fatherhood that God shows us.
Yes.
not so much the world. Because the world will say some things, the world has lost their mind on so many things when it comes to the family. They've redefined families, they've redefined marriage, they've redefined all kinds of relationships.
Yes.
But God is the standard bearer.
Yes.
And this Bible is the standard bearer.
Yes.
And as fathers, if you want to know how to be a father, don't look outside so much. Just look up. Look to God.
That's right.
Because God is the standard.
Yes.
And when you think about how He, that's why it's so important to be in a relationship with God. Because God teaches you how to be a good father, a good husband, a good wife, a good child, a good employee, a good boss, a good neighbor.
Yes.
That's right.
God is all about relationships.
That's it.
So we look to the Lord for our example. He is our standard bearer. But as we go about this as dads, we need to meditate on some things. How we want our children to be perceived out there in the world. Do we want our children taken after us? Do we want our children's respect? I know you always want your children's respect that you command. You better respect me, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that real respect because they look at you and they know that, you know, you're not a hypocrite.
Right.
You're not phony. You're
that's
trustworthy.
Right.
You're
that's
honest.
Right.
That yeah, that right. what you say, you mean. And when they look at you, they, you know, what they see is what they get. Nothing else. Amen.
That's right.
And then lastly, that they're proud to call you their dad.
Amen.
Now, you know, like I said, none of this is for me to say. None of this is for you to say, Brother Les. None of this is for you to say, Brother Tim.
Yes.
Right. But it's for our children to let us know. Amen.
Right.
And so for all the children out there, if you got good dads, amen, if you can say to yourself, well, when people find out that's my dad, well, they treat me right. If you can say that I take after my dad and that everything is good, if you can say that I have respect for my dad, and when all is said and done, I probably acknowledge my dad, you need to thank God that He gave you a good father, amen.
Right.
And you need to call Him up. You need to, you know what? The stores ain't closed. You need to go back to the store because that Tide and Old Spice ain't going to do it. You better go get them something else.
Amen.
Don't text him. You better get on that phone and call him.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Because if your dad can take, if you as a child can look at these questions and go, my dad does really well on all those, you need to lift up your hands wherever you are.
Yes.
Bless the Lord.
That's right.
Because He's giving you the blessing of a good dad. Amen. But listen, whether you're a young dad or old dad, amen, you know, for me, everybody is here, right? Our kids are grown.
Right.
So the opportunities to impart are not as plentiful as they were when they were smaller. And there's no going back, you know, to say, man, I wish I could have. But it doesn't mean you can't still do some things now.
That's right.
And for those who are young dads, man, you got such an opportunity to make such a difference.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Do the right thing. Do it the right way.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Be purposeful in being a father.
That's right.
And for those who are fathers to be, amen, just keep certain things in mind and understand.
Yes.
It's not the way this world tells you how to be a father.
That's right.
It's the way God emulates and shows you how to be a father. And here's the last thing I will say. If there's any father who's hearing this and say, well, man, you know, maybe some of these things you go, I'm not rating too well on these things. Here's the blessing. You have an opportunity to do something about it.
Amen.
Praise God for the gift of another day.
Yes.
Right.
Praise God for the gift of repentance.
Right.
And repentance is a gift. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God for the gift of repentance.
Yes.
Repent. Ask for His grace. Ask for His wisdom. He'll give it to you freely. Amen.
Yes.
He'll give it to you in abundance. And make a change.
That's it.
Praise God.
That's right.
It's not too late to start making changes.
That's right.
God's a gracious God. Amen. As we said earlier, one of the greatest things we love about God is His patience with us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so you can make that change today. Amen. So listen, happy Father's Day. to all the fathers out there, and the fathers who are going to be better fathers as they purpose to do certain things according to the will of the Lord. Amen. I'm just happy. I'm glad to be a father. Amen. Amen. I'm glad to be a father. I'm glad God trusted me with my children.
That's right.
Amen. And I'm grateful for my dad. I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression, because my dad was, he was a complicated man. Wasn't he, Sister Vanessa? Yeah. She got to know him. And I really didn't understand him too well until I was older and had my own kids.
Yeah.
Isn't that something about sometimes with your parents?
Yes.
And you don't really, really understand some of the things that just exasperated you until you were older. So there were times that later in his life, I would come over there and my mom would be upstairs. I would hardly go see my mom. I would just sit at the table with my dad. And Sister Nell would go upstairs in the middle with my mom. And I just sit at the table with my dad. Sometimes we'd be like men. Just wouldn't even say nothing. We'd just be sitting there. You know how men do.
Yeah.
We just sit there. Every now and then we say a little something. We grunt. We and then we go back to whatever. Amen. But praise God for my dad. Praise God for your dad.
Yeah.
Praise God for dads everywhere. Amen. Let's rest on our feet and let's pray today. Our dad, amen,
yes.
Our Father, Lord, Father, we bless your name, glory to God,
thank
we thank you, Lord, for our fathers, we thank you, Lord, for our earthly fathers, we thank you, God, that earthly fathers do the best that they can,
yes,
God. And it's by your grace and by your mercy, oh God, that they raise their children, oh God, and Father, we're just praying, oh Father, for an extra anointing to be upon them today. We just pray, God, that they will be encouraged, that they will be inspired, that they will be enlightened, oh God, not to the way the world speaks, oh God, but to your voice and how you speak, to your example that you set. Father, we're praying for added strength today for fathers. We're praying for added wisdom today in the name of Jesus Christ. We're praying, oh God, that you will just bless them, oh God, and empower them by your Spirit to be the best fathers that they can be, understanding the influence that they have over their children, not only now, but for generations to come. And Father, we thank you right now, oh God, that you're raising up, we're confessing this now by faith in the Son of God, that you're raising up generations of godly fathers, godly men, who raise their children up. And Father God, we call it done right now, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We give you the praise, we give you the glory, we give you the honor for it. And Father, most of all, oh God, on this Father's Day, we lift you up. You are our heavenly Father. We thank you, God, for your everlasting love. We thank you, God, for your tremendous grace. We thank you, God, for your mercy. We thank you, God, for just being who you are. You are such a good Father. And so we just lift you up and we bless you for it in the name of Jesus. And God, as we prepare to leave, Lord, we just ask you, oh God, to make this a good day for fathers everywhere, oh God. May they receive love and joy, oh God. And Father God, may they just receive the blessings from their children, oh God, and from you. And Father, we thank you, oh God, for this day, for fathers everywhere, and most of all, as we said, for you being our Heavenly Father. To you we give all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God for fathers. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.